Let's turn in the scriptures now to Zechariah chapter 1. And Zechariah, that's the second to last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 21. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. These are God's words. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, return now from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not listen or give heed to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your fathers? Then they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to do to us in accordance with our ways and our deeds, so he has dealt with us. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, as follows. I saw at night, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse, and he was standing among the myrtle trees, which were in the ravine, with red sorrel and white horses behind him. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you what these are. And the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet. And the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, with which you have been indignant these 70 years? The Lord answered the angel who was speaking with me with gracious words, comforting words. So the angel was speaking with me, said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations who are at ease. For while I was only a little angry, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts, and a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion, and again choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there were four horns. So I said to the angel who was speaking with me, what are these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I said, what are these coming to do? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man lifts up his head. But these craftsmen have come to terrify them, to throw down the horns of the nations who have lifted up their horns against the land of Judah, in order to scatter it. And those are God's words. Remember from Ezra, I think it was the fifth chapter, it said then Haggai and Zechariah prophesied. We just read and finished Haggai, and here is Zechariah. But you remember, this was during, in Ezra's time, this was during the time they were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem after the exile in Babylon. But this, it's important to know, because it's very similar as well to what we're hearing this evening in Daniel. This, and that passage tonight is after the Jews had returned from the exile. And here we see that the Lord was angry with the Jews, because at the very beginning here, because they were a sinful people. They were living like their fathers, who had not repented. And now they need to repent of their sins, and they need to return back and turn back to God. And we see the rest of the passage from verse 7 on. It's great encouragement the Lord gives for hope and God's mercy. And this happens through verse 11, at least verse 7 through 11. There is a vision of the horses, which reminds us of some images, perhaps in Revelation. And those horses are those who watch over the earth so that all the earth is peaceful and quiet. And then there's an angel. There's an angel who prays for Jerusalem. And the Lord answers the prayer in line with, again, some of what Daniel teaches us. He was angry with the nations, promising to return to Jerusalem, which would give them hope in their rebuilding of the temple. And then another vision of the four craftsmen at the very end who cut off the four horns. Those are foreign nations. The four horns are the foreign nations who had attacked Judah and Jerusalem, and the Lord promises to destroy them because we know, again, Christ is king over those nations and they cannot stand against him. And so here's all the promises to the people of God that he will again be present with his people. Remember, the temple had been taken away, and so they had that symbol of God's presence taken away. But he promises here that he will again be present with his people, which is again a reminder that the temple will be rebuilt, even though they're struggling with it and to build it, and then the enemies trying to attack them. And so today, if you're in Christ, then the Lord promises that he is always with you. We don't need a temple to show that forth, but we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and so we ought to be even the more encouraged than these who were hearing this in Judah from Zechariah the prophet. Because the Lord is always with his people. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again that you are always present with us, your people, and yet we still commit sins. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We've broken your commandments. We've broken the law, as we'll talk about again and hear about in Romans. We've broken the law. We have not been or lived righteously or godly apart from any working that you do in us. But with that working of your Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ, you do produce in us good works, fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And Father, we're thankful that you are working these things and you're creating in us a clean heart. And we pray that you would continue working in us and continue sanctifying us, continue to put to death the remaining sins in our body, in our minds, in our souls, even in how we desire things and our emotions. Father, we're not perfect in any way, in any part. And so, Father, help us as we continue to live in this life, as we look forward to that life to come in that paradise when we will be with your Son, Jesus, and with you forever and ever. And Father, that is today secured for us, as we've read previously in Peter and Ephesians. That these things are secured for us. They're sealed for us. And we look and hope for them even now. And we ask that you would, as we are reminded of those promises of eternity, when we will be with you, that you would encourage us and comfort us, because we are people who can be often discouraged and grieving over ourselves. Make our focus to be upon Christ and to be satisfied in him alone. Father, we do thank you for answering our prayers. We have prayed and you answer. We find often that you are answering our prayers. We see them, and so we want to give you praise that you have healed Patricia, that you answered our prayers concerning Jeannie's aunt, and that you have taken her. We are thankful for that, though also grieving and sorrowful with Jeannie. We pray that you would be with her especially, and her, the rest of her family, that they would all put their trust in you. And yet we're thankful for your providence, that it reminds us once again, as we think of death, think of our state and our standing before you, even as we will read Romans in a few moments. Father, we ask that you would help us to consider our standing before you, and that we have no standing, unless we believe with faith in Christ Jesus alone for our salvation. Father, we pray that that would be what we proclaim with our mouths. We teach our children and our grandchildren these things, and those people we come in contact with in the world. Father, again, forgive us, for we have been weak in this, testifying and evangelizing. We pray that you would overcome our weakness and strengthen us for the task for which we are here. One of those is, of course, bringing glory to your name, but another is to bring good to other people. And that primarily comes, we know, through proclaiming the gospel. And we pray that you would save many. We pray that you would save all of your elect. And that you would grow your kingdom. And that you would bring many into this everlasting kingdom, of which Christ, your Son, is King. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.